You're listening to The Naked Scientist with me, Chris Smith, and also with Kat Arney. If you want to get in touch with us here at the programme, you can email chris@thenakedscientist.com or you can tweet at Naked Scientist. You can also look us up on Facebook.
At the moment, plastics are produced industrially using oil as a raw material, but in future it might quite literally be possible to grow plastics on trees. With us to discuss the future of plastics is Karnik Tarverdi. He's Professor of Materials Processing at Brunel University in London. So first of all, do we really need all the kinds of plastic that we have in our lives at the moment? Say, if I go to the supermarket, I might get a nice salad, I pick up a lettuce and a cucumber, and they're shrink-wrapped in plastic. Why are they packed like that?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned the cucumber, because that has some very interesting statistics. First, I'd like to mention that regarding cucumbers, there's a very interesting, informative book written by Laurel Miller and Stephen Aldrich. They are veterans in this area. And the title of their book is, guess what? Why shrink wrap a cucumber?
Oh, well, there you go. Why do I need to use this plastic to do it?
Now, hopefully, I'll try and convince you why we do it. Now, if we shrink wrap the cucumber, it loses 1.5% of its weight in 14 days. But if it's not shrink wrapped, it loses 3.5% in just 3 days.
So basically, it's going off in my fridge faster if it's not wrapped up.
Yes, exactly. Yes. With shrink wrap, it has much lower carbon footprint. It has a longer life, and also wherever it's kept, really.
I guess this is a bit counterintuitive, because people may think, oh, plastic packaging, it's always bad. Why do we need it? And if it does keep our food cleaner and safer and better for longer, it's a good thing. But can we recycle this kind of packaging?
Yes. Now, first, let me mention that in the UK, we use about 10 million tons of packaging per annum. It's a lot of material. But what we need to do is make sure that this material has a recycling life cycle. It's produced, it's used, and it can be professionally recycled and reused again.
But is there a limit to the number of times, say, you know, that the shrink wrap from my cucumber can be recycled?
Yes, there is. But what we do is you can always replenish with some virgin polymer. And when you are recycling, it needs tender loving care. That means you need to have the temperature just right with some flow promoters and also some antioxidants, which will then extend the longevity of these polymers.
But assuming that no one's going to recycle all their shrink wrap ever, and people will just chuck it in the bin, tell me about the work that you're doing to try and make plastics that are actually more biodegradable from natural products. Tell me about these. How do they work?
Yes, there are quite a range of sugars that can be used to recycle and also make new polymers.
We heard Athene talking about starch earlier. Is that one?
Yes, yes. In fact, Brunel was one of the pioneers in processing starch. And there are a couple of large companies that make loose fill plastic made out of starch. So it's excellent packaging. And it's taken over around 25% of polystyrene loose fill, which is excellent. But the polymers that are made out of plastic are recycled and also biodegradable is quite a big range now. But PET and polypropylene play a big role. And PET is from sugarcane. It's sugar. But the big advantage of that is that when you process this material, it has good barriers against volatiles, against carbonation material inside the liquid.
So you can store all kinds of things, all sorts of food and all sorts of products in this kind of plastic?
Yes, very much so. And again, it has as good a longevity as some of the bilayer materials that are being used nowadays. But biodegradable polymers are also playing a big role. There is a special polymer called polyhydroxyalkanoates. It's has polyhydroxybutyrate and polyhydroxyvalerate. These are, again, sugar-based from plants, but generated through bacteria sources. And they are biodegradable. They will degrade. But also from nature works, they generate a polylactic acid from cornstarch. That is, again, biodegradable, but at much higher temperatures. So if it's in very large compost bins, then it will degrade in municipal compost bins.
Now, one thing that always concerns me about biodegradable plastics, I've got a nice drinking glass here in the studio. I assume this is not biodegradable.
No, it
isn't. It's filled with water. I'm drinking out of it. I worry that it would just disintegrate on me.
No.
How stable are these plastics in their use?
They are. They are very stable. In fact, say the biodegradables from polyhydroxyalkanoates, which one of my students is working, and there are other scientists in the UK and overseas that are working on these. They are very stable materials, and you need to treat them carefully. You need to process them at the right temperature. But once they are processed, they are as good as any polymer
used. Then when you get them in the compost heap, that's when they degrade.
Yes, when the bacteria starts attacking it and breaking down, taking all the nutrients away, and eventually it ends up like soil itself.
All sounds like good stuff. Thank you very much. That's Karnik Tarverdi. He's Professor of Materials Processing at Brunel University in London.